Watch. Be alert. Why? Because God is a sneaky master who goes on a journey only to put his servants to the test and find them at fault upon his sudden and unexpected return. Isn't this the idea that we get from this parable today? But if this is the case, good people, you better behave, because if you do not, God is going to get you. Personally, I can't find anything attracting about this way of understanding our faith, of forming an idea of God. This way of thinking may, at best, prevent us from sinning, but will hardly help us to get to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, mind, and soul, as he wants us to love him. Actually, I would say that such an attitude may turn out not to even be effective to make us not sin. For think about it, a servant could be on the watch waiting for his master to come back and still do what he wants, ready to drop his bad behavior as soon as he catches a glimpse of his master. So is this in fact what the reason why the master in today's parable left the home to go on a journey? Or is it rather because this master is a good teacher and a loving father and knows how to teach his children how to truly appreciate what is good? There is a weird, if you want, and unwritten law in human experience that tells us that we are not fully able to appreciate a good until that good is taken away from us. I have a very early memory, maybe the first memory I have, of a morning when I woke up in the house. I was probably 4 or 5, and that was already something strange because I was used to be woken up by my parents. So I woke up very late when the sun was already up and shining, and the house was wrapped in silence. So I started to wander in the house to see why that silence was that deafening, if you want, and I couldn't find anyone. In the end, I got to the kitchen and I found my older brother there eating. I can't really tell the sense of loss that I experienced. I had taken for granted the fact that every morning my parents would come into my room, wake me up. I would go downstairs, find already the breakfast prepared for me. All these goods that my parents would make available to me, I had taken for granted. But that day, I realized that I have taken them for granted. So the master today in this parable, which is God, decides not to withdraw a good, but to withdraw himself, goodness itself. And we can imagine the servants at first rejoicing in this absence, maybe feasting, enjoying life, sometimes in good ways, sometimes in not so good ways. After all, the master is not around. But I can also imagine how after a while, at least some servants would start to regret the departure of the master. Why? Because maybe discord arose among the servants, or maybe because the lack of leadership, the lack of an expressed authority, had brought disorder in the household, or just because the source of the life of the house, the master, had gone. So now we can see more clearly the reason why the master departed from his servants. He left them so that they will realize how empty and dissatisfying is the life where we have forsaken the source of all goodness for some fleeting and passing goods and pleasures. There is a concomitant lesson that the Master wants to teach to his servants. God wants his servants to realize that he is not so much a master to be feared, but a good father to be loved and cherished, and that the greatest fear that his children should have is not to be caught in evil doings by the master, but rather a fear to offend their father, who is the source of their being. So if previously the servants in the parable feared him as a rigid master, now, in his absence, they grow to miss him as a good father who has gone away, and invoke his coming, his return, as lonely children would. The prophet Isaiah in the first reading gives voice to the people of Israel, which experienced firsthand this sense of abandonment by the Lord. His few words are those of one who is fully aware and fully grasps the angst caused by God's absence. He cries out to God, "Return for the sake of your servants. You have hidden your face from us and have delivered us up to our guilt. Yet you, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands." Isaiah and the people of Israel finally learned their lesson. Their life, apart from God, is just a sequence of miseries, because the source of all good and of their own being, their father and not their master, has gone. So this season of Advent that we start today is for us to prepare to celebrate the incarnation of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus. And this is also a great time for us to reflect on those areas, aspects, and realms in our lives where God is presently absent. And he may be absent, maybe because we have actively kicked him out, so to say, from our soul, offending him gravely with our sins. And not offending just him, but offending his love for us. Or maybe because he is absent, because we are afraid to turn over to him some areas of our lives, because we are afraid that he will exercise a strict rule upon us. We see him as an enemy of our good. Or maybe he is absent because he himself has seemingly left on his own initiative. So that we may deepen our long for him, our expectation for his coming, and we might increase our trust in his unfailing fidelity. Advent is to be a time to turn away from sin, to surrender more fully, more completely our lives to our Savior, and come to grow in trust of him. And unfortunately, in our day and society, our world celebrates Christmas during Advent, and when Christmas comes, they forget about it. But as Catholics, we are given the opportunity of these 25 days, really, to sit and grapple with the sense of absence of God, which the liturgy itself presents to us today. We can sit and watch our hearts react to this absence of God. This will be a diagnosis of our interior state. We must resist the temptation that the world presents to us to anticipate the celebration of Christmas to now and enter intentionally in the starkness of this season. If we don't, I'm afraid we will frustrate the intrinsic power that the season of Advent has. So I want to maybe just give you three simple advice to try to enter intentionally into the season. The first one is to make a resolution to give up one thing, even just a little one, but that you know you're very attached to, way too attached to. It can be a particular food or a beverage or some comfort in your life. It's only for 25 days. I can do it. You can do it. This way you will show to God that you acknowledge Him as the greatest good and as the source of every other good, and that you value Him more than anything else. The second advice I have for you is to try to diminish the noise and distraction around you. This will make you uncomfortable, I know that, because we all need noise and distractions as a way to cope with our existential angst, if you want, or even just to not have to think about our problems, not to have to listen to the voice of our conscience. So decrease the noise and increase the silence. Finally, third advice, try to carve out of every day of this Advent period a time, maybe half an hour, even less than that, but just a time to dedicate to silent prayer, to sit with the Lord, to give Him a chance to speak to you, to turn down the noise so that you can actually listen to Him and hear His word. If we strive to do this together, I can guarantee you that God will return and that He will manifest Himself to you at the end of this Advent, because He will come and you will come to desire Him and cry out for His return. He will then come and bring with Himself the greatest good that He has, the gift of His Son, our incarnate Lord. He is the Son of God. He is the one who can teach us how to relate to God, not as to a master, but as to a loving Father. Today is also the beginning, the first day of the novena in preparation for the Immaculate Conception of our Lady. So let us ask Mary, she who is, so to say, the personification of this thirst for God, of this desire for God. Let us ask her to teach us to yearn for the Lord, as she did as a young virgin in Nazareth, praying for the coming of the Messiah. That on Christmas Day this year, after an Advent intentionally passed, pondering on the absence of God in our life and calling out for His return, we may finally reap the fruit of this season and receive from Mary's hands Jesus, the blessed fruit of her womb.